Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Yes! Touchdown! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami! Good afternoon, everybody. How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, on this Tuesday, August the 7th, and there's a ton of news to talk about in the world of the Miami Dolphins. We got a bunch of stuff to go over, so let's get right to it. Monday night, pretty much right after I recorded the podcast on Monday, it was reported the Miami Dolphins signed running back Jeremy Langford, and he was at practice today on Tuesday morning. He was wearing number 42. I wouldn't read a lot into this signing because the Miami Dolphins needed probably just another body for depth right now in training camp, because as they get into the preseason games, you got to remember, Frank Gore is not a young man. I would not expect to see him play a lot in the preseason. So he's not going to be getting a lot of reps in the preseason games. And Drake, he is so important to this offense for many reasons. Just because he has that big play ability. He's their youngest lead running back and just how he ended the year last year. And plus, he has had a history of being somewhat injury prone. When he was at Alabama, he was. When he was drafted by Miami, he missed most of that first year's minicamp, dinged up and hurt. Drake is not a guy who can just sort of absorb a huge workload. He's not built that way. So he's a bit injury prone, which means guys like Gore and Drake, you do not want to waste them in the preseason at all. You want to get them as much work as possible. So someone like Langford or just a running back body is needed just to get through the 4 preseason games. Of course, Miami does have the rookie from Arizona State and Kalen Ballage. They also have Perry at running back. So they got a few other guys. But having one more guy really does help head coach Adam Gase and the offensive staff just sort of, you know, not feel the need to sort of overwork even the backups like Perry and Kalen Ballage in preseason games. It's just one more guy who can sort of take some carries and help split up the work. Because Frank Gore, you won't see a lot in the preseason. Drake, I don't think you'll see much at all in the preseason. So they needed a body. Now, Langford, obviously in 2015, he had a pretty big year for the Bears, actually. 16 games he played in, scored 6 rushing touchdowns, and he also caught a touchdown. 2016, his workload was cut pretty much in half. He ran for 4 touchdowns. You know, he was an okay player for the Bears. Last year, he was out of the league, though. Out of the league. He was released by the Bears. Then he signed with the Ravens. He was there for like a week or two. Released by them. Then he went to the Jets. He was there for a little bit. Then he was released by them. So he was out of the league last year. This is not a big-time move. This is just a training camp body. Someone who can take some reps in the preseason games here and just sort of be an extra body at running back, so don't read a lot into that at all. The next big story is something we've been talking about on this podcast now for a few months, and today it became official. The Miami Dolphins announced they are moving their training camp and their training facility out of Nova Southeastern University in Davie, Florida, where they've been for over 25 years or so, and they will move it to Hard Rock Stadium on some property they already own at Hard Rock Stadium and to Miami Gardens. The hope is that they will be in the facility by 2020. That's the hope. So you got the rest of this year's training camp. You got all of next year's training camp. We'll all be in Davie, Florida. Come 2020, the goal is to have the training camp at Hard Rock Stadium. Well, to the property to the west of Hard Rock Stadium. They had a big press conference today at Hard Rock Stadium to make an announcement. And there's a lot of news here why they're doing this. First off, just expansion. The Miami Dolphins training facility at Nova South Nova there, is one of the smallest in the league. It's one of the smallest in the league at Nova Southeastern University. I think it's like the third smallest. So it's just time to grow, time to expand. And they're going to build a state-of-the-art facility paid for by Stephen Ross. It will cost between $75 and $80 million of his own money. They did get a subsidy deal from Miami-Dade County. So they'll give him $60 million over the next, you know, many decades. So they're going to get some help there from the county. But essentially, this is Ross paying for the whole thing out of his own pocket. There's a lot there. The facility will be off University Drive. So they're going to move everything under pretty much one physical location like we've talked about on this podcast in the past. And this puts everyone for the Miami Dolphins at one physical location where they've been split up in the past, where you got the people who work the stadium, people who work with tickets and all that stuff. They've been at the Hard Rock Stadium location. And then you got the other front office people and the other people who work behind the scenes that you don't see of and hear about. They've been at the facility in Davie, Florida. That'll change. Everyone will be, by 2020, in this one physical address, this one facility. It'll make it easier for fans when it comes time for training camp. They can go right to Hard Rock Stadium. It's going to be pretty much right there, right next to Hard Rock Stadium. And it'll be a state-of-the-art facility. And this was done for many reasons, and some of which aren't even football-related. They want Hard Rock Stadium to be one of the it stadiums in the United States of America. So when there's like World Cup games, they want World Cup games there. They want college football championship games there no matter what. They want all these events at Hard Rock Stadium, which as it was set up now, you could have. But having the state-of-the-art, gigantic training facility that the Miami Dolphins use there for teams that are in the World Cup, for teams that are in the NCAA playoffs and all that stuff, it just makes it more attractive and makes it more it just makes it easier for parties involved. So this is there, not just for the Miami Dolphins, but to help, you know, Hard Rock Stadium, which is once again owned by Stephen Ross. All the money's going to one place, folks. It's to help him attract bigger events there, more, you know, more events to South Florida that really do bring in the big bucks. So that's that. They'll be moving there by start of 2020, hopefully, if all the construction goes well. Trying to think if there's anything else newsworthy from that press conference. Not really. Tom Garfinkel did meet with the media. They asked him a few interesting questions. They asked him about the parking situation, because obviously this facility that they're going to build is going to go into the parking. And he said the Miami Dolphins, before they built the tennis courts out there and stuff, they had 4,000 extra parking spots. When they built the tennis courts and now they're going to build a Hard Rock, this new training facility, they still think they're going to be probably in and around 2,000 extra spots. So the parking situation, this won't be hampered. They still have more than enough spots on average that they feel for any Miami Dolphins home game. They asked him about the field because, as we know, last year the turf and the field was absolutely miserable for the Miami Dolphins home games. You had guys slipping and sliding all over the place. It was really dangerous for the players. Garfinkel said they have addressed the field issue. He says they were getting bad field off their track from their vendor. Says the problem is solved. They have a new vendor. And he says they will grow their own sod in Palm Beach as they control it. And he thinks this will give them the opportunity to have the best field in the NFL. So the vendor that provided the Miami Dolphins with the turf on the field last year, they're out and they have a new vendor in. We'll see how it holds up. Obviously, rain plays a big factor in it. The Miami Hurricanes games on Saturdays before. So when there's a Saturday Hurricane game, Sunday Miami Dolphins games, that's never good. We'll see how that holds up then. But they are very optimistic that the field will be much better this year and there'll be less issues with that. Today Tom Garfinkel also released the uniforms, which uniforms they'll wear for which home games. Now, as many of you longtime listeners know, don't care about that one bit, but I know a lot of you do. So I'm going to read it off right now. So for the first four home games against Tennessee, the Raiders, the Chicago Bears, and the Lions, they're going to wear white jerseys. The first four home games are white jerseys. So the games in September and October essentially are white jerseys. The games that are home against the Jets on November 4th and the home game against the Jaguars on December 23rd, they will wear their aqua jerseys. So four home games in white, two home games in the modern aqua, and the throwback games, if you haven't figured it out now, will be on December 2nd, home against the Bills, and December 9th, home against New England. So the first four games, white jerseys. The last four will all be aqua. Two of the new aqua, two of the throwback aqua. There's your uniform schedule. Because I know a lot of fans really get into that. So I wanted to pass that along as it was announced today by Tom Garfinkel of the Miami Dolphins. Let's get to practice. And today the Miami Dolphins did have practice at 8:30 a.m. They were in their shoulder pads, not a full pads practice. This is their last practice before their first preseason game on Thursday. On the injury front, here's what we got. William Hayes and offensive lineman Jake Brendel were the only two players to miss practice. And once again, Isaiah Ford was wearing the red jersey for non-contact. So the same guys who were out pretty much yesterday were the same guys that are today. And I'd be stunned if we saw either one of them in the first preseason game. In fact, you won't see either one of them. Isaiah Ford's the guy to watch. He's been wearing that red non-contact jersey. Will he actually suit up and play on Thursday? If I had to guess, I'd say no. But I guess anything is possible. Practice today, Mike Gesicki had another good day. He had another good day. Very impressive. He did catch some touchdowns and red zone drills and some end zone drills. And he made a great catch over Minka Fitzpatrick as well. Those two were locked up on each other. Gesicki won the first battle there. He looked great. Who started opposite Xavien Howard? Obviously, we know that's a big story each and every day. Today it was Cordrea Takersley. He got the start. Looked good. Looked very good. I still think it's his job to lose, but we'll see. He did get the start there. On the kickoff return drill, they had some interesting guys back there today working. One was Kalen Ballage. The other was the rookie Jalen Davis out of Utah State, who they're very high on. The problem is he plays a position that's going to make it very tough for him to make the team in the Miami Dolphins secondary. But he is a practice squad guy. Hopefully, if no other team steals him away. And the third guy returning on who was working on the kickoff return drill was Torrey McTyer, who was a lock to make this team these days. So some young guys back there. Two guys in their first year and a guy in their second year. For McTyer and for Kalen Ballage, those are opportunities for those guys to actually make plays in real games, get their hands on the ball. So maybe one of those two guys will be back there with Jakeem Grant. We will see. The rest of practice, like I said, this was a very uneventful practice. Rookie kicker Jason Sanders, he had another big day, 7 of 8 on field goal attempts with a long of 59 yards. Each of these young guys, here's the issue with Sanders. Sanders, he has a knack so far, I've seen over about a week and a half, of missing some short ones. He's missed a few 33 yards, which he had again today, and some 36 yards. So he doesn't miss much, but when he does miss, it's the short ones. It's the extra point type ones. It's the chip shots, where if you are an NFL kicker, under 40 yards, you got to be automatic. And it seems like when he does miss Sanders, they're the short ones. Joseph, who had a horrible first day, but since then has been very, very good, including a 61-yarder yesterday. I think just because they used a pick on Sanders, it's his job. But if something were to happen to him, if he were to implode, let's say the first month of the year, have a horrible start to the season in September, Joseph will probably be out there, and I think the Miami Dolphins would have no issues at all if they had to call on him to be the kicker, because you take away his first practice where he was miserable, he has been very, very good, and each one of these kids, for the most part, have been very, very good for young rookies. So how they perform here in the preseason games will also be very telling. Pretty much, they just can't choke. They can't choke when they're, even in preseason games where there's really not a lot of pressure because nobody cares if you win or lose, they can't choke in their role. So we'll see about that. Some other news today, safety T.J. McDonald had an interception in the red zone. He looked good. The offensive line overall has just been bad, and it's been bad for probably the entire training camp. There's been a day here, a day there where they've looked okay, but today the offensive line again got pushed around and abused. They look confused at times, letting guys run in free. Minka Fitzpatrick came in untouched at one point, and if it was a real game, he would have drilled Ryan Tannehill. I mean, they've just looked so bad, the offensive line. It does make you wonder. Look, once again, we're only 2 weeks into practice and all that stuff. It makes you wonder, did the Miami Dolphins, you know, do enough to fix this offensive line? We won't know till September, till September 9th, and the games are for real. But the first 2 weeks of training camp have been absolutely miserable for the Miami Dolphins offensive line. They've looked just lost, confused, blown assignments, and guys getting pushed around. It's not a good look. Hopefully when the games are for real, this changes, but it's not very promising right now, to say the least. I will say that. Again, it was a pretty much uneventful practice. Not a lot happened overall. Tony Lippett did get dinged for a bit, and he was down on the field, limped off, but he did return, so he appears to be okay. Wide receiver Leonte Carew caught red zone touchdowns on back-to-back plays. So he has a pulse. Leonte Carew is fighting for his life here in Miami. I think it's an uphill battle for him, but it's a good sign today on back-to-back plays. He caught red zone touchdowns. He'll need to do more. He will need to do more, but you know, at least he made some plays today in practice, so good for him. And again, I guess the big story of the past two or three practices really is tight end Mike Gesicki. Mike Gesicki, just every day continues to impress. Every day of practice, and hopefully he is a bright spot for this offense, because right now in this training camp, the offense has looked awful. I mean, Tannehill's looked okay for the most part, and guys like Amendola, Gesicki have looked good for the most part. Frank Gore's looked good. There's guys here and guys there, but as a unit, just overall as a unit, the offense has just been absolutely miserable, and anyone who tries to put a spin on that and say otherwise is pretty much lying to your face. Again, I mean, it's not something you're going to panic on, well, as we sit here on August 7th, but we got to call it like we see it and say what it is. The offensive line, and just, no, I mean, the offense in general just has not been good, and they're still not on the same page, and this is still a work in progress. The good news is they got a month and 2 days until the games count for real. So they got till September 9th to get this fixed and to get this straightened out. But they're going to have to get it fixed and straightened out quick. Adam Gase cannot be pleased with what he's seeing from his offense. The Miami Dolphins on defense, yeah, they got some pretty good players here. Don't get me wrong. And Quinn and Wake and, you know, Fitzpatrick and Xavien Howard. They got good players. But, I mean, these guys look like the 1985 Chicago Bears every day of practice, just pushing around the offense and having their way with them. And I don't think they're that good of a defensive unit. Yeah, as much as it's promising to see them play so well in practice, we have to be realistic. They're not that good of a unit. So hopefully the offensive issues get fixed. Hopefully head coach Adam Gase sort of, you know, straightens this out a little bit. And we'll see where it goes. But right now the offense is struggling, to say the least. And Thursday night in a preseason game, we'll see. I'm not sure how much we'll see of guys like, you know, Frank Gore, if at all. Of Ryan Tannehill, if at all. Stills, Drake, I'm not sure. Maybe they play a series, maybe. Or if he sits all those guys, I would not be shocked either. For me, I'd sit them all. I see no reason to play any of these guys. But we'll see how that goes. So that's all I have for today's show. I will probably be back with a show on Wednesday. There's no practice Wednesday, as they have a game on Thursday. So no practice tomorrow, but I think I have a guest or two lined up for Wednesday's show, which we will talk about there. So everyone, always be sure to follow me on Twitter at Dolphins Talk. If you want to send me an email, I can be reached at dolphinstalk1977@gmail.com. Check out the website, dolphinstalk.com. We got a ton of new content up. Be on the lookout for the first Perfect Bill podcast on our website soon this week, as they are now part of our dolphinstalk.com podcast network. Perfect Bill, follow them on Twitter at Perfect Bill Pod. And check out their iTunes page and stuff. So that's pretty much it. Everyone, have a great rest of your day. And we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.